It is time for my response. 19 years ago, after being set apart by the Quorum of the Twelve in the Temple as an assistant to the 12 Apostles, Elder LeGrand Richards gave me two pieces of advice that have come to me over and over in the past 50-some-odd hours that I've known of this call. First was, oh, to be a boy and have your whole life ahead of you. I was 42 years of age. I am now 61 and am once again a boy. There are men sitting on this stand who have been apostles and in the First Presidency for half my age. The second thing Elder LeGrand Richards said to me was, you know, in my life, it was like a great oak tree. I would grow a great oak tree. And he said, I did it in business. And the oak tree shook. And an acorn came down. And they sent me out as a mission president. And then I grew another oak tree. And they sent me out a second time as a mission president. And then a third. And then he talked of being a presiding bishop. And each time the oak tree would shake, an acorn would be planted. At this time, I understand the oak tree has shaken. An acorn is planted, a new beginning. I express gratitude, my brothers and sisters, for the strength which comes through your faith and prayers. I am in need of your prayers at this time of my calling. To be an apostle of the Lord, I am finding, is a process of repentance and humility, to look inward as we've been instructed, and ask for forgiveness and strength to be what I should be. Unfortunately, I'm not a perfect man, and infallibility does not come with the call. Therefore, I must ask for forgiveness from Heavenly Father for those things which I have done, which are less than perfect, and ask forgiveness of anyone I might have offended, knowingly or unknowingly. Because of my personality or style. The strength which will come through your prayers will be invaluable to what I need to do to forge the spiritual strength required to have my voice and my testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ penetrate the hearts of those who will hear. I express my appreciation to my parents, my dear brother who's passed away, my sister who I spoke to last night, for their loving example. I'm grateful for the teachers, the priesthood leaders, who work week after week teaching us as youth to love the Lord. I wish also express appreciation and my deep love for my wife and children and grandchildren. I've been privileged to work among the finest brethren in the Quorum of the 70 that this earth can have, working together and forging our testimonies to further the Lord's work. In the closing of this chapter of my stewardship as the presiding bishop, I wish to welcome and sustain Bishop Bateman as the new presiding bishop of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and let him know of the marvelous experiences that he will have in his calling. I love the four counselors who've served with me, Elder Eyring, Elder Pace, Bishop Burton, Bishop Edgley. They are deeply spiritual and truly devoted men whose love for the Lord have been an example to me. I would like to also express thanks and appreciation to the loyal staff of the Presiding Bishopric's office, both the church headquarters and around the world. My expression of appreciation would not be complete without completing my thanks for the faithful talents and labors of the saints around the world. We have such faithful members of the church, and to be one who has known the tithes and offerings and the free will offerings that have led to welfare and humanitarian efforts, this is a marvelous work and a marvelous church with magnificent members. Each, in their own individuals and calling, live the gospel and are an example to those of us who travel the world and meet them. My testimony grew as I grew, nourished and taught by countless others who helped me by their example and living the gospel. I shall be eternally grateful for the many good people who, in serving the Lord, have blessed my life. I want to bear witness to what President Hinckley taught last night in priesthood meeting about church government. Over the past 9 years, on a daily basis, I have seen the wisdom of the Lord's plan as it functions under today's circumstances. But that closes the chapter. The oak tree is shaken, the acorn is planted, and this is Easter, commemoration of the Savior coming forth after 3 days as the resurrected, risen Lord. For the rest of my sojourn here in mortality, I will have the opportunity to bear testimony as a special witness of our Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a God. He is Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is the Savior of the New Testament. Jesus Christ dwelt in the heavens with his Father and dwelt with them as a spirit, and we dwelt with him as a spirit child with God the Father. Jesus presented his Father's eternal plan, that plan of which we are all a part. We come to this earth to undergo testing for probationary period, to have opposition in all things. And through the eternal principle of agency, we are free to choose liberty and eternal life and return with honor to God's presence if we live righteous lives, or to choose captivity and spiritual death. Jesus Christ is the creator of all things on earth under the direction of his Father. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ came to this earth, born of Mary, a mortal mother. His Father was Almighty God. Jesus Christ was baptized by immersion by John the Baptist, and the Holy Ghost was manifest in the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And his Father spoke, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus Christ organized his church and selected 12 apostles, and also prophets and 70s and evangelists. Jesus Christ's message is unique. He stands between us and his Father. He is the mediator. Through him shall all mankind be saved, and by him shall all mankind be saved. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, our Savior. Only he with a mortal mother and an immortal father could fulfill the atonement and die to save all mankind. He did so of his own free will and choice. Jesus Christ was resurrected and appeared to many after his resurrection. He taught us the physical characteristics of a resurrected being and told us that we could follow his example and that we would be able to progress and be like him. Jesus Christ's ascension into heaven before the eyes of his disciples was accompanied by the promise that in like manner he would come again. The second coming of Jesus Christ is nigh at hand, as the signs of the second coming are being fulfilled this very day. Jesus Christ appeared with his Father and restored the same organization he established during his ministry through Joseph Smith the prophet in these latter days. In addition to the Bible, the Book of Mormon was revealed to the world as another witness to testify of his divine calling and ministry. Jesus Christ leads and guides his church today through revelation to a prophet, President Ezra Taft Benson, and his counselors in the First Presidency, and the 12 apostles, the same organization he established when he was here on earth. Jesus Christ's admonition to come follow me and follow thou me is the challenge that he gave to each of us. He lived in the pre-existence in the spirit world. He dwelt, and we dwelt, with God the Father. He is the Son, Jesus Christ. We take a mortal body upon us. We will have opposition. We will taste death, be resurrected because of an atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. May I close my testimony in the same words as the prophet Mormon did shortly after the birth of the Savior. Behold, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I have been called of him to declare his word among his people. that they might have everlasting life. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.